You're listening to the PT and the Gib Dog podcast, episode 53. It's an all Tom Brady episode as the two break down the legend's decision to leave the Patriots for Tampa Bay and all the implications behind it. Let's do this. All right, we are back with a special, what do we call it? Quarantine.
I was going to say self-quarantine
edition. Yes, self-quarantine edition of PT and the Give Dog. Not a lot of sports going on. Hope everyone out there is staying safe and staying sane in these wild times. But figured we'd do a little bit of diversion and talk some sports, both for our own sanity and then anyone else who wants to escape, albeit briefly. How are you holding up in quarantine land?
Doing okay. I mean, stocked fridge, stocked cabinets, beer in reserve, wine in reserve, you know, all the essentials. Doesn't look like we're going to like one of those official lockdowns anytime soon. I was watching the press conference with the governor earlier, so I don't think we're heading that way. But in the event it did happen, we'd be good to go. But I think we have enough supplies for, you know, good, you know, 10 to 14 days maybe in here. So yeah. We're doing all right with a little crazy one-year-old running around, but it's fun. Good times.
Exactly. Surviving. I mean, I'll turn on the TV and go through every single channel and realize there's no sports on after I went through every channel and then turn off the TV. So going through that phase a little bit, but surviving. One weekend, we'll see how things go. Hopefully they trend better. Of course, the NFL decides to, you know, business as usual. Let's start the league year and let's start free agency and get ready for the draft and all that stuff, which feels a little weird. I think part of me, it was a welcome diversion, and part of me was like, this is kind of weird. Like, there's bigger things going on in the world than where Tom Brady is going to end up. But I don't know.
Which is probably why my reaction to it wasn't like I wasn't dejected, you know, when it happened. I think for exactly the reason you're just saying there, because of everything that's going on, just everything the country's going through, it doesn't seem like that big a deal. Sure, it was. It absolutely is. And as it sets in, it probably will become more of a big deal. You're right. It wasn't really a focus, or it didn't feel like it should be a emotional focus, you know, for everybody.
Well, I'm sure Brady feels the same way after a 20-year career here in New England. He has to pick one of the strangest weeks in recent memory, and maybe in our lifetimes, 9/11 aside, to announce news that he's leaving the Patriots. It is what it is, and he had to do what he had to do. So I guess let's get into Brady. I'm sure this will dominate most of our discussion today. We were texting, I guess, pretty much Monday leading up to the announcement, which I believe took place on Tuesday. And I know we were doing a Google Hangout last night, and you had a Tom Brady jersey on. So that may or may not tell me a little bit about your sentimentality. But I guess walk me through your range of emotions and kind of what you were thinking going into it. Were you surprised? We can kind of get into it from there.
I was wearing the jersey because I thought there wasn't really a theme, you know, organized for one of those things. So yeah. I figured, you know, why not? That would be the time to wear it. And it was hanging, actually. I just washed it, so it was hanging like on my door. So it was just kind of natural just to grab it. I was watching Get Up, actually, because I actually, Pat, watch more Get Up now that there's no sports than there is when there was sports. It's really weird. I'm watching more ESPN.
Who's on Get Up? Is that Coward and Stephen A? Who's on Get Up?
No. Get Up is Mike Green.
Jalen?
You know, no, it's not even Jalen Rose. It was dominated by Dan Orlovsky and Marcus Spears. And the funny thing was, they were both talking before they cut to Jeff Darlington, where Greenberg there was a conversation going between Greenberg and Orlovsky and Spears.
Yeah.
What was going on? And before they cut to Jeff Darlington to break the news, the three of them were having a conversation, and Spears and Orlovsky were just so adamant about, you know, Brady leaving. I actually started to craft a tweet from our Twitter account that because these guys are so adamant about it, watch, he's going to come back. And like, I'm in the middle of typing the tweet. Greenberg says, stop. They cut to Darlington. Darlington says he's not coming back. Don't know where yet, but he's not coming back to New England. And it was kind of just like, okay, you know, You know, not really like, and I think what you said, everyone kind of knew it was coming anyway. Like, I mean, I I got maybe one text message from someone else about it, and it was someone from New York who was probably happy that he was gone. It wasn't more of a Tom Brady's gone sad text message. It was more of a haha Brady's gone text message. So I think a lot of people were resigned to it, like you said, and you know, it'll probably be weird when you watch him in uniform or doesn't they're gonna have a press conference because of everything that's going on, or at least not anytime soon.
Yeah.
But when he takes the field in the Buccaneer helmet and uniform for a while, that'll be kind of weird.
It'll be weird, but we've seen it happen with people that we've grown up with watching and loving, whether it's you know, Pedro in the Mets uniform after winning the title with us, whether it's Paul Pierce wearing, I mean, Brooklyn, wearing Washington, wearing the Clippers. Those are two that at least immediately jump out a lot more. I mean, I guess we're all aware that sports is a business, so it will be weird. I'm kind of taking it more of an optimistic road on this one, where I mean, I'll sure as hell be rooting for him next year, and I'm happier that he's in the NFC. Not because I'm scared that if he was on an AFC team, it would be damaging to the Patriots' chances, but more it's more fun to root for an NFC team. And I know I did it for a few years with the Falcons because of Matt Ryan, 49ers briefly because of Garoppolo, and I would love to root for the Bucs with Tom Brady. So I'll definitely be supporting them next year, regardless of what happens. And it does feel like it was a mutual decision. Were you reading all the other news that was coming out yesterday? I'm sure there's a lot more to be written about this, but it seems like the Patriots never even gave him an offer.
And it's because they felt that he had no interest in coming back, whether that's true or not, whether that's them trying to make themselves look good. I think he just wanted something new, and whether it was just time for a change, you know, a new experience, which is every right to. Obviously, he's a very proud individual. Going somewhere else to prove he can do it without Bill Belichick. I think there's definitely some, you know, the relationship is definitely not what it was. But I think the relationship between Brady and Belichick was never a super close one to begin with. It was purely a business relationship, very professional business relationship. Like, they'd say they'd go for the off season and really
wouldn't even talk.
Wouldn't even talk. I mean, I'm sure they would from time to time, but it's not like a constant check in. They certainly weren't friends. I'd never call them friends.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like Brad Stevens is like texting with, you know, Tatum and Brown all off season. I'm sure Doc Rivers, Pierce, Garnett, Rondo, Allen, until they booted him out, probably had a text thread going all summer. So,
and
you're right, definitely different.
Right. And what kind of made me even think that even more, and it's a totally different relationship, but it kind of just tells you the person that Belichick is and where he maybe kind of learned it. I mentioned before we started recording, I was watching the 30 for 30, the two Bills about Parcells and Belichick. You know, you look at their relationship, like there's certain respect, and I think there's probably affection, you know, for sure, between the two of them. You could probably say the same thing maybe about Belichick and Brady, but a different type of affection, you know, more just like a more of a professional, you know, relationship that was obviously one that was successful for Parcells and Belichick, one that was wildly successful for Brady and Belichick. And that's kind of where it stood and where it ended. And then at the end, when, you know, you kind of, you know, the fact that it lasted 20 years is amazing in itself, just because you have two very proud guys, two very competitive guys. And, you know, that it probably starts to wear. And I mean, it's almost inevitable. And the fact that it happened, it took 20 years for it to happen. We should be lucky. It was 20 years and not 10, 12. You know, I kind of liken this. Maybe part of the reason why I'm not as upset and, you know, was, you know, outraged or crestfallen about the whole thing. I mean, we didn't lose Tom Brady in his prime. We lost him when he's 43 years old. We'll compare it to the Red Sox trading Mookie Betts, you know, a month ago, which your feelings on that are very well, you know, documented. And I mean, the Red Sox traded away, you know, one of their best players in their prime. Like, that's something.
And you know why they had to do that? Because they were a little sentimental and signed Nathan Eovaldi to that big contract, and signed Chris Sale to worst contract in MLB right now. They were a little sentimental with their World Series title and did a couple moves that they probably shouldn't have. And then Mookie was the price. And that's something you've never seen.
But when you lose,
do.
Right. When you lose one of your superstars in the prime like that, you get more upset about it. Yes.
Yes. Of course.
Betts won. Mookie Betts won one World Series, where Tom Brady won six. It's a little different. But it's almost like, say, after next year, and I don't see this happening, like Jason Tatum says,
no,
the hell with it. I don't want any part. No, I'm just giving you an example of something
I don't
that
like
would outrage
this example
us a little bit more.
I need Jason Tatum in my
I'm
life.
I'm trying to give you like the closest example to something we'd be upset about.
I know.
Where you
know,
have this, you know, transformational talent, you know, potentially, that walks away in their prime with so much more to offer, you know, from a basketball or football standpoint, baseball, whatever the sport is, you'd be more outraged and upset about it. Where Tom Brady gave you six Super Bowls, nine AFC championships, 20 years, which is, I mean, there'll never be another quarterback that'll last 20 years with one team in the NFL, I don't think. I mean, no. I don't think you'll ever see it again. And at least at the level that Tom Brady played at. So that's why you just take a moment to appreciate it. You know, not to sound corny, but remember the good times, and he moves on and the Patriots move on, and you know, you see where things go. I mean, again, it'll probably hit a little bit closer to home, and we'll get more upset about it, you know, when the Patriots maybe start 0-3 next season, and Jared Stidham in his first year starting has two touchdowns and seven picks through his first three games, which I don't think is going to happen, but it'll take like something like that to happen where, you know, you get a little bit more fired up and upset about it.
Yeah. We'll talk about the Pats in a few. Couple more things on Brady. So 20 seasons, I think they won, was it 17 AFC champion East Division titles? And it was his first year they didn't win because they went 5-11 because he didn't play. His third year they went 9-7. They missed the playoffs. We were at the last game of that season and they should have made the freaking playoffs. But was it Brett Favre and the Packers that screwed us or something like that? I forget. I know we should have snuck into the playoffs because we had that big win over the Dolphins, but ended up not happening. And then the other time was in 2008 when he tore his ACL. Every other season they won the AFC East, which is crazy. It's crazy that run of consistency for that stretch of time. So what was it, like 13 AFC championships or something, championship games, something like that, 9 Super Bowl appearances, 6-3, pretty good record there. I think we both saw him probably 10-ish times in person. I'm guessing for you, it's probably around the same for me, you know, given the
frequency. Probably, not to sound terrible, probably more than 10. But
it's not terrible. I mean, it's great. It's great to have the chance to do that.
It was, yeah. No, it was.
And for me, I was at the Chiefs game this year, which is kind of a crappy ending. But, I mean, being there for that, I was in the moment definitely reminding myself this might be the last time I see him because he might retire or he might be leaving after this season. So it was something that I definitely treasured the Sundays watching him even this past year, knowing it could be the end. And the season didn't end the way we wanted it to, but I don't think we had the firepower to get past Baltimore or Kansas City on the road. And you started seeing cracks in the armor toward the end of the season. And I mean, how often do you lose to, we lost to KC, Baltimore, and Houston in the regular season, all the three other division winners. And that never happens under Belichick. No. And I'm sure that helped inform his decision where they had reached a ceiling with Brady at quarterback. And if they ran it back, yeah, they probably go 10-6, 11-5. But I don't think you're better than Kansas City. I don't think you're better than Baltimore if you're able to do that. So I think he wasn't necessarily extremely ready to bring back Brady and clearly wasn't going to pay him what Brady was looking for. And Brady probably had this curiosity as well. And it does come down to, you mentioned the two Bills. Belichick was this unbelievable defensive coordinator, right? And then he goes to Cleveland, has one good season, but three duds, has to go back to Parcells. And before he took that Patriots job, I think all the success that Belichick had was attributed to Parcells. And it took him going off on his own and, you know, winning six titles in 20 seasons and now being known as the greatest coach in NFL history, at least by our view, to create his legacy. And, you know, you could argue that Belichick was in the prime of his coaching career 20 years ago when he joined the Patriots. And certainly Brady's at a different stage of his career. But some of him, if he can take Tampa to the playoffs and take him a couple rounds and the Patriots maybe don't go that far. That's maybe a check in the Brady box that might be interesting for him to pursue. We all know he's an incredibly competitive guy, and you know, if he's wasn't believed he was being treated with respect, I'm not surprised to see him move on. So I think from the Brady perspective, completely understand his decision making. Happy for him. I don't feel any anger or any disappointment, honestly. To me, it's almost even more exciting to see him play somewhere else and also see what's Belichick going to do. I think the 11-5 Matt Castle season in 2008 was one of his proudest achievements, taking that team. And again, they went 16-0 the year before, so like it was pretty stacked. But you know, you lose the MVP in the first quarter of the first game of the season, and you end up winning 11 games. Like that is something that he can try to replicate now with the whole offseason to prepare for a world without Brady.
Yeah, no, for sure. And you're seeing a lot of turnover on the roster already. You know, I know we've been joking about like this little bit of, you know, what have we been saying? Tank for Trevor.
Tank for Trevor.
I don't think they're going to be that bad. It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
But you see a lot of departures on defense, you know, and, you know, some salary cap, you know, moves being made, the trade of Daron Harmon, letting Kyle Van Noy walk, letting Jamie Collins walk after Jamie Collins, after coming back from Cleveland after the Patriots traded him there, kind of revitalizing himself, being a big part of the defense, you know, last year. You know, you've seen, you know, quite a few defections from that side of the ball. You know, I like the pickup of Adrian Phillips is his name. Mm-hmm. He was the Pro Bowl special teamer from the Chargers. You know, that's a guy that kind of screams New England Patriot a little bit.
The secondary
special teams is going to be very, very, very good. You know, maybe they felt that Van Noy and Collins were, you know, expendable because they're so high on, you know, Chase Winovich. You know, he'll be entering his second year. Many people thought that was, you know, a steal, you know, in the draft last year. You know, Juwan Bentley, who, you know, I think he got hurt last year, if I recall correctly. Or was it the year before? They're very high on him. So they've got some young players in those positions that maybe that's why they felt they didn't have to pay the Van Noys and you know, the Collins is what they got, and, you know, good for them, you know, getting what they deserved on the open market.
But I mean, it all comes down to the secondary, and they probably have the top secondary in football. So
yes,
I think
they do.
Defense, you got to think it'll be another top five season. The big question marks, as you were presumably about to get into, is on the offensive side of the ball.
Exactly. No question. You know, still got to figure out what they're going to do with quarterback. And I think, you know, in a second here, when we'll take stabs at who we think is going to be the starting quarterback week one next year against whoever they, you know, end up playing in week one. But yeah, I mean, quarterback position, obviously a big question. You know, if Mohamed Sanu can get healthy and, you know, Edelman can get healthy, you know, N'Keal Harry maybe finally being healthy, you know, after missing half of last year, you know, you've got some talent, you know, there at the wide receiver position. You know, running back, you know, it's Michelle White, you know, all you know,
is Burkhead still like there? Is he a free? Is Burkhead
still there?
Is
Burkhead's still there? So,
we'll get our boy, the fullback back too, who got hurt.
No, actually,
they let him go.
They signed a new fullback.
Bye-bye, James Devlin.
Yeah. The guy from Green Bay. I'm blanking on his name. No,
he
was fullback for Green Bay.
Okay, that's fine.
But I'm blanking. Vitaly is his last name. Vitaly.
We've already spent a lot of time on fullbacks, but keep going.
No, but so you gotta think that means whether Devlin comes back or Devlin doesn't, you don't know. You don't know what his
Belichick's going with the dual fullback offense.
Yes.
Zig and zag.
The thing you worry about on the offensive side of the ball, too, you know, Ted Karras left for, you know, Miami. I actually turned down 2 years from the Patriots for 1 year with the Dolphins. Right. But felt he could establish his market value a year later. You got to think, maybe does that mean David Andrews is recovered from a blood clot situation in his lungs?
I hope so.
You know, if not, then that kind of leaves a big hole at center. So, you know, some things to do on the offensive line. So you kind of see how that plays out. Just like you said, a lot of question marks on that offensive side of the football. You know, and the big one being who's gonna be the quarterback. I mean, right now, you know, leading the clubhouse is Jared Stidham, you would think, because he was the backup last year. You know, Cody Kessler's the other quarterback on the roster. Brian Hoyer just got released by Indianapolis today. I don't know if you saw that after they brought Philip Rivers in. So maybe Hoyer comes back, but not necessarily as a starter, maybe as the backup. And, you know, who knows if there's still something to be done. Somebody outside the organization, in addition to Hoyer, who knows?
Let's say you're Belichick. What are the calls that you are making? Who do you see as your maybe top three? I guess you want to do it in terms of your preference or in terms of order of likelihood. What do you think's
more? I think maybe order of likelihood might be okay. Like what I think is going to happen. So I'll work backwards.
Okay.
Third, I'm actually changing my third just because of the roster move that Indianapolis made today by releasing Hoyer, which makes me think they are planning to keep Jacoby Brissett.
Man, that's an expensive backup. That's an expensive backup.
I know, and maybe not. Maybe it's just step one. But you think if they, you know, they just ditched Hoyer first, that might be their plan. I don't know.
No offense to Brian Hoyer. He's not very good right now. I don't think he's a very good quarterback.
But that's my first reaction, you know.
Yes. Okay.
You know, after that. So my third, I'm actually going to pick someone outside the organization. Mm-hmm. The name you keep hearing attached to the Patriots, and I don't know why, is Andy Dalton. Okay. And the only reason I'm going to say this is because obviously the Bengals have the first pick in the draft. It's going to be Joe Burrow. They're going to draft Joe Burrow. Yep. And they're not going to sit Joe Burrow. They're going to play him right away, I would think. So yep. Dalton's going to be available. It's just the question are the Patriots going to want to pay the price for what they, you know, but how much can
it's honestly more salary than the draft pick.
It is more because, salary than
I mean, it's probably it like is. A sixth. It's like a sixth rounder that'll get Dalton, is my guess.
You would think so. And maybe that's why they're clear in this cap space. That's why they're, you know, basically salary dumped Daron Harmon on the Lions while also swapping fifth and seventh round picks. You know, maybe they have something like that down their line. Just you see that name kind of connected a lot. I don't know if it's just Dalton fits kind of the profile, the type of Belichick quarterback. So that would be my number three. I'm just going to preface here that my number one, and then distance from one to two, actually, let's group two and three together. The difference, the likelihood that one happens and the likelihood two and three happens is very drastic. I'll give you that out. My second one most likely to happen. I still think that there's a shot in the dark, and if they could ever pull this off, this is the guy you would spend the money on, and you would kind of be excited about, you know, maybe the Patriots don't necessarily take a step back. Matthew Stafford in Detroit.
Okay.
Detroit is the third pick in the draft. Who knows what they're going to do with it? If they want Tua, they can certainly have Tua, most likely, given that Burrow's going to go one to Cincinnati. Highly doubt the Redskins go with a quarterback the year after after taking Haskins there. Again, you never know with the Redskins. You never know. But the likelihood is they don't go quarterback at two. So that slots Tua available to the number three pick, which would be Detroit. Detroit, given the season they had last year, you know, obviously a bit of a rebuild. However, you know, Patricia is certainly in year three, probably feels the need to win now. Got to win. But who's to say he couldn't win without Tua? I think it all depends on, you know, what, you know, Tua's medicals say. But that's why I'm kind of thinking Stafford's a possibility. Just, you know, given that, you know, the Lions could choose to hit the reset button at quarterback with someone like Tua. But so that's why there's really no difference in my two or three. I think if it's going to be someone outside, it'll be someone like a Dalton, someone like a Stafford. If that doesn't happen, Jared Stidham is going to be your quarterback next year. They're obviously very, very high on him. Everyone saw him as a fourth round, a steal in the fourth round. You know, the guys on the draft table kind of said it right away when he got drafted last year that he's certainly more talented than the fourth round. You know, he had some good moments in the preseason last year. They really, really like him from everything that the reports say, outside of, of Patriots outside Gillette Stadium. But they just, I think they, he hasn't had a chance yet for obvious reasons. Like, you're going to play Tom Brady over Jared Stidham. But I think that's most likely your starter next year with someone like a Hoyer, like a Brian Hoyer gets picked up and is backing him up. Just because he's been in this, Hoyer's been in the system for a long time. So I think that's where we end up. Personally, I'd like to see them maybe take a stab at someone else on the, whether it be a trade, because I'm not quite sure Stidham is ready, but I mean, I don't know, but I think it's the highest likelihood.
So you have Stidham one, you have Stafford two, and then you have Dalton three.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's obviously that Detroit Patriots relationship. Is Bob Quinn still running stuff for them?
And up until Brian Hoyer got released today by Tampa, I thought like Jacoby Brissett being back here as the starting quarterback, or at least brought in with the intention of going into camp to compete with Stidham, was a possibility. But that Hoyer release today makes me say that they're keeping Brissett, because who knows, with Rivers being 38 years old,
it's a
1 year deal, and he's 38 years old, and you never know. So you want to keep Brissett around in the case something happens. That's just my thought.
Okay. Yeah. So I can't disagree with the number one Stidham. I think that's most likely. I don't think I'd be thrilled if he's a starter without someone very good challenge. I mean, if he beats a previously established NFL starting quarterback to win the job, okay, great. But if it's just him and Cody Kessler, who I think he lost 8 out of the 16 games the Browns lost that year, or something like that, or 15, I forget how many the Browns lost the year he was there. But I'd have to go Stidham one. I'm going to still stick with Brissett number two, most likely, and number one, most interested by me. I don't know. I know this bad blood between with Ursi and Ballard, with McDaniels and Belichick, and the Flategate and McDaniels leaving, all that stuff. But I mean, can you really pay $15.5 million for a backup quarterback when you just signed a starter for $25 million? I know the salary cap's $200 million, but $40 million for quarterbacks, I don't know. It just feels like a lot. I know the Colts have a lot of cap space, but you can imagine that there's more that they could do with that cap space, and nothing better than getting the pick to be able to rebuild off of. So I think Brissett would be worth a fifth rounder. The Pats don't have a fifth rounder, so it's probably a fourth rounder, or maybe they just traded for a fifth rounder.
Traded for a fifth rounder.
Okay, there we go. Fifth rounder, right? Because who'd they trade Harmon to again?
The Lions, who sucked.
The Lions. Interesting. So it's a good fifth rounder. So I would not be surprised. You can circle that pick right now. I would not be surprised if that's the pick that goes to Indianapolis for Jacoby Brissett. If the Colts make a move, they'd have to do it by June 1st. Honestly, I think they'd have to do it before the draft, because they'd want draft capital this year for him. So Pats have about 4 weeks to figure that one out. But I think it just makes too much sense to not happen. Brissett was it just his rookie year in the Patriots system?
Yes.
Before they traded him for Dorsett.
Yeah, and where he had to start games 3 and 4 for them.
Yeah.
And
played most of game two.
Played most of game two when Garoppolo.
And didn't play very well in game two. Played very well against the Texans in game three, and then was hurt in game four.
He was hurt in game four. He went on injured reserve as soon as Brady came back.
And I was terrified that that they would have to put Edelman in if Brissett went down. So Brissett's my number two most likely. And number three most likely, I'm going to go with another, I'll call it a retread, a starter who is not kept by his existing team. I'm going to go Jameis Winston just because of the ceiling that he can provide. You never know with Jameis. It is possible. So what we know for sure right now is the market for Jameis Winston is not very strong. He threw 30 interceptions last year. That's all you need to know.
And that's why I don't think he will come back. Why I don't think he will.
Let's talk about what happened to Teddy Bridgewater. He signed a 1 year, I don't even know, $6 million deal with the Saints last year, something like that. To establish his market value, and now he's getting close to $60 million in the deal that he signed. So I think this would depend on the market not really materializing for Winston, which is definitely possible. The difference between Winston and some of these other quarterbacks that you're talking about, Belichick would prefer not to trade. He already doesn't have a ton of draft picks because of the Sanu deal, and I think they made another deal last year. So he already is a little light on draft picks. I know they got a few compensatory picks, but Winston's a free agent, so you get him for free. I mean, is there any downside to paying him? I don't know what their salary cap situation is right now, but $10 to $15 million 1 year and establish market value. See what you got. And if he does well, you franchise him, you keep him, and maybe it turns into something. Again, it's my third most likely. I don't think it's going to happen, but I'm saying it's not out of the realm of possibility. And I'm not sure it'd be a good thing, but it'd be a fun thing.
So it would be. It'd be very interesting. I just don't see them as high as they are on Stidham stunting his development for a question mark like Jameis Winston. And I know that's crazy to talk about a former number one pick in the draft like that. Can you really see Bill Belichick dealing with 30 interceptions? Like, that would drive him nuts.
Well, we wouldn't throw 30. He wouldn't throw 30. McDaniel's offense is very different from Bruce Arians.
I know, but imagine
the Winston Brady flip-flop. It'd be pretty interesting. And then it would be kind of like a direct comparison. Like, how does Brady do versus how does Belichick do? Because basically they just swap teams. And it'll be interesting that if, you know, Winston can take the paths further than last year. And then maybe what does Brady do as well as Winston did last year? It might be some pretty interesting things to watch. But again, I don't think it's likely. Are we sure they're high on Stidham? Do we know that?
That's the talk. In between the back and forth between Mike Greenberg and Orlovsky and Marcus Spears, you know, when the news came out the other day on Get Up, they went right to Mike Reese, you know, and I don't think there are very many people probably locked in the Patriots than him. And he was someone who was really pushing Stidham, saying that was kind of what he thought the direction was that they were going to go in, that barring anything unforeseen, you know, that, you know, he'd expect Stidham to be the quarterback just because they feel he hasn't been given the opportunity for obvious reasons to this point, you know, and that if he's given that opportunity, that they're pretty high on what he could do. So I think it'll all depend what you see as far as, you know, other moves that they make in free agency. They haven't exactly made that's a win now move. You know, it's kind of been a quiet approach to free agency with the exception of Phillips and then Bo Allen, the defensive tackle that was actually from Tampa, actually. They also signed a wide receiver, Damier Bird, if I'm even saying his first name correctly. trying to think where he was last year, but that's just a certain level of signing that they've done in free agency so far. So we'll see. That's kind of why I'm leaning more towards the Stidham for the approach to how free agency's gone so far.
Yep. And you never know, like there have been bigger surprises. Do they go with someone like Jake Fromm in the draft and there's no guarantee Stidham, a fourth rounder in his second year, is going to outperform a rookie who's drafted pretty high. So that's possible. We saw Russell Wilson follow that route of third round pick to starter to playoff team leader. So that's definitely possible. Or they run with Stidham, and if he's good, great. If he's not, then maybe you think about angling for a higher pick next year. But we'll see. I guess it's prediction time. What would lots of moving pieces, of course, but where do you see the Pats ending up? And of course, where do you see Tampa Bay ending up next year?
With the Patriots, I see them still making the playoffs, believe it or not.
Seventh seed? Timely for the first year of that.
yeah. If not necessarily seven, either six or seven, because I don't think they'll win the division. I'm not completely subscribed to the Buffalo, you know, hype train. But it's more so that the Patriots lost Tom Brady than it is that, Buffalo signed Stephon Diggs, who Let's wait and see how that plays out.
Yeah.
I've had Stephon Diggs on my fantasy team the last 2 years and been quite disappointed. You know, this past year, not so much his fault, because of just the offense, the running focused offense of the Minnesota Vikings. But let's see how that one plays out. But I mean, just with how good Buffalo's defense is, you got to think Josh Allen only gets better, you would think. I mean, on paper, Diggs is better, yes. Like I said, you just got to wait to see how it plays out. But I'd probably make them the leader in the clubhouse as far as the AFC East goes, the Bills. Yes. I also expect Miami to kind of take a little bit more of a leap forward, too. You know, 5-11 last year, we played really well down the stretch. You know, adding Kyle Van Noy to the defense, you know, certainly helps. You know, I think the Dolphins have quite a few draft picks too, if I recall correctly.
They traded Minka Fitzpatrick, I think, to the Steelers. So that's they have a couple first rounders.
And their own at number five, and who knows if you know what they could do quarterback wise. But I would guess Fitzpatrick's probably their quarterback again next year.
Yeah.
You know, I think they're also going to be good as well. I would still slot the Patriots second behind Buffalo, you know, ahead of Miami, and then the Jets a ever so distant fourth.
Yeah. Okay.
So let's call the Patriots a playoff team in that sixth or seventh slot I'm torn between 9-7, 10-6.
Do they win a playoff game?
No, they don't.
Okay. Because you got to think KC and Baltimore probably 1-2. And then if you're the sixth seed, you'll play the three. I think 2 will play 7, 3 will play 6, 4 will play 5. So 3 is a little open. I mean, Indy's probably in, I guess it's Baltimore. Well, yeah, I guess Indy in the South is a contender for that. Houston probably not after their dumb trade.
Buffalo could be. Depending, if they're your division leader, and you know, going on the road in Buffalo in their first home playoff game in years might be tough for Jared Stidham. Even though you'd like Belichick's chances against a team that he's already seen twice in a year. So it'll all depend on who it ends up being. I think the likelihood is if they squeak into the playoffs this year, it's probably one and done, you would think.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think 9-7, 7 seed loss to Baltimore or Kansas City. And I think that'd be a good year.
it would be.
I mean, they didn't make the playoffs when they were 11-5 with Castle. So we'll see. How about Tampa Bay?
Tampa, I think Brady's got, I think that division's going to be better than people think. Obviously, you got the Saints The Saints are loaded, man.
Yeah,
on offense. You know, everyone's talking about how stacked the new look Buccaneers are, but yeah, Drew Brees coming back at quarterback. You got Alvin Kamara and Latavius Murray in the backfield. Like, that's pretty good punch.
Michael Thomas punch is the best there. Receiver
Michael
in
Thomas,
football.
They just signed Emmanuel Sanders as well.
Yeah,
that's a great addition for them too.
They always have these three or four receivers that come out of nowhere that are all good. So that's always
they
fun.
They got Jared Cook at tight end now. Like they're like the Saints are loaded. Like they're my pick to they're still my pick to win that division for sure.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think the Buccaneers could finish second, but you've got a sort of a new look Carolina Panthers, a Teddy Bridgewater led group who. Bridgewater probably anxious to show what he can do down there. You got Christian McCaffrey in the backfield. And then maybe, you know, Atlanta's got the weapons. You know, they do. I mean, they've been very disappointing, you know, ever since the Patriots kind of.
Because they need a new coach.
Well, it's because they need a new coach, yes. But the talent's there. You still got Matt Ryan, a quarterback. They signed Todd Gurley, you know. I still think he's an upgrade over Devonta Freeman. You know, a little bit of an injury concern with Gurley there. You still got Julio Jones. You know, the offensive weapons in the NFC South is quite abundant. It's a very, very good division. I think Tampa is a playoff team. I think they do make the playoffs. But it'll all depend on who they draw and where they have to go, in that first round. And, you know, you never doubt Tom Brady anywhere in a playoff game. But yeah, but I the Saints finished what 13-3 last year, so
I think so.
I see them doing something very close to that, maybe, because I feel the division's a bit better. Let's call that 12-4, you know, for the Saints to win the division. And let's call Tampa a 10-6 this year, which gets you into the playoffs.
Yeah, 10-6. That's probably the 5 or 6 seed.
So yeah, that's a three game improvement from last year. And is Tom Brady, a 3-game improvement, from Jameis Winston? Probably so. So
if he stays healthy, but yeah,
which he pretty much has, which he pretty much has. He is 43.
Offensive line's not that good.
I know, but their defense, I think, is very good. Is better than the numbers indicated last year. I think someone made a point earlier this week that, their yards allowed, as far as the Tampa Bay defense went, was, middle of the pack in the NFC, where their points allowed was down the bottom. But that was, they kind of, accredited that to, the 30 interceptions by Jameis Winston, which Tom Brady's not going to throw 30 interceptions. So, the field position start for the defense hopefully will be a little bit better for Tampa this year, you would think.
Okay. So 10-6. You're probably playing in San Francisco or in Seattle or in Green Bay in round one, because I'm guessing the Saints will probably get the bye as well. Does Tom Brady win a playoff game, or is he also one and done? Those are not easy places to play, any of those three.
They are not. My gut is if it was like San Francisco, yeah, he would. And I don't know why I say that. Going to Lambeau is tough. Going to Seattle, playing them up there and playing against the 12s, that's tough.
Yeah.
That's a tough
matchup. Seems like you're leaning no.
Leaning no. But, he's got him back in the playoffs. So, that's all you could really ask. And then you just kind of, you go from there. If Drew Brees doesn't stay healthy, does that change things for New Orleans? Because there's no Teddy Bridgewater. I know they're very high.
Are they keeping what's his name?
Taysom Hill. Yep. They signed him. They signed him to a pretty decent deal, if I recall.
He's going to get some snaps.
So, if you have a year like last year where Brees gets hurt, then maybe the Buccaneers have a shot at the division.
I like Taysom as a gadget guy. I don't like Taysom starting 5 games like Bridgewater had to do.
Right.
So.
Exactly. There's no Bridgewater to step in there, for so that could drastically change things. Tampa wins the division, you have a home playoff game to start, then it's a whole other different situation.
Yeah.
So
yeah, exactly. All right, so you're saying 10-6, probably not winning a playoff game. I think if he stays healthy, that's the record I would say. I'm going to say Tom Brady misses 3 games due to injuries that happen when you're 43.
Hey, real quick, Pat, not to cut you off there, but you can continue as you thought. But if Brady were to get hurt, could you even name who the Tampa Bay Buccaneers backup quarterback is?
No.
Right now?
No.
Oh, okay.
I read it in an article. I'm like, I don't know who this guy is. He played at Tulane.
His name is Ryan Griffin. Played at Tulane.
Yeah.
He's in his 6th season. He threw 18 yards in 2019.
I'll break some news. He will not be the backup quarterback this year for Tampa Bay. I'm going to break some news. They'll probably pick up Brian Hoyer.
It'll be Brian Hoyer. Yep.
Hoyer carries Brady's clipboard better than anyone, right?
Yep. If Hoyer doesn't go back to New England, he'll be in Tampa. You're absolutely right.
But you still
wouldn't like Tampa's chances in those 3 games that Brady would be out.
No, I would not like those games. I would not like their chances. And that is why I am saying the Tampa Bay Buccaneers go 8-8 and they end up the eighth position in the NFC.
They do not
make the playoffs. Brady gets like a groin or hamstring or one of those like injuries that you get when you're overexerting at age 43, trying to play quarterback in the NFL. And it's a mixed melancholy type year. They'd make the playoffs if he stayed healthy, which at least energizes them for 2021. And Arians keeps his job and all that. But we can run it back in 2021 with that crew. But I'm going to say 8-8 for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Do not make the playoffs. Again, I think the Patriots do. And I think that shifts legacy a little bit nudge more in the Belichick direction opposed to the Brady direction, although it's kind of crazy to separate their two successes given how amazing it has been for 20 years. So we will see, though, assuming an NFL season happens, we will see what actually goes down.
We shall.
Go ahead.
No. That's all I got.
I was going to say, we haven't talked Celtics yet. Should we spend 2 minutes on the Celtics? I don't know. It's such a fun season.
Who wins in the fight, Marcus Smart or coronavirus?
Well, Marcus Smart takes a charge to get the ball back first on coronavirus. As long as we have the right official calling it, he doesn't get tossed. Oh, man, it was such a fun season. And I feel
you're
a little
bummed. You're speaking in the past tense, so you think it's done.
I know.
Right?
I think it's over. I think, yeah. I don't know. I don't think I'll be going to any more games. Let's put it that way. So I think the season for me is over.
Oh no, I don't know if you meant like no playoffs, no nothing. Like
I was talking more about me, but now I'm thinking more about the season, and I think that might be over too. I think they'd like to do it, and they might just go right to the playoffs, and they just have to start that by June probably to have any hope of finishing it in time to have any off season, but.
Probably.
I don't know.
And you know, with every day that you hear, there are more positive tests, you know, by players, you know, I think that becomes less and less likely. So, well, I was optimistic that we would see basketball again with each day, as long as we don't have any more woes or shams tweets saying other teams have had people test positive for coronavirus. I think
it's hard. I mean, more of a lot of the league is, you know, 25 years old, and you see it in the town that you're living in terms of how people, the seriousness that 25-year-olds treated it last weekend over St. Patrick's Day weekend in Southie, right? So I'm not saying NBA players are doing that, but I think that's an age where you think you're invincible, and especially when the virus doesn't seem to be super symptomatic for that age group. I mean, I don't know. I'd be more surprised if no more players tested positive than if we don't hear more names in the week to come. So.
Right.
We'll see.
Part of me wants to save the requiem on the season yet until it actually happens. But I think it's actually going in that direction. But
we'll see.
It was fun. You know, I talked to you last night. I was watching the Celtics Raptors, the Celtics home opener from this year. It was a lot of fun to watch the game. You know, they're going to be playing a lot of these, you know, they've got the Paul Pierce 46-point game against in the second half against the then New Jersey Nets from 2001, you know, coming up tonight. I think Comcast announced that every night there's supposed to be a game. They're going to play an old Celtics game in its place.
So they get, because they have no programming, so they better do that.
Right. I think they've got Isaiah's 53-point game against the Heat, you know, from a couple years ago coming up soon too.
So. I liked his 53 against the Wizards too. And is that game two? I think that was another fun one. I like that one. Would Beal miss that bunny at the buzzer?
All these replays, they seem to be staying away from playoff games, because I thought, like, when they talked about the Pierce points, like, I wasn't really thinking or, like, paying too close attention to the details of the game, and I thought it was the game three against the Nets in the playoff series. And
we talked on the phone right after that game.
We did.
Back when it was calling the home phone number and it was a non-cordless phone situation. I remember that.
They did it. It was crazy.
Didn't win another game that year, but whatever.
They did not. That was it. Went out on a high note. But but I'm kind of looking forward to watching some of these again. You know, it's not the same. Yeah, of course, we wish we still had the NBA, and we miss it, you know. You know, we miss it more than we do the start of the Red Sox season. That's for sure. Let's not get into that and depress our quarantine selves even more.
Over under Chris Sale wins this year. Over under.
Zero.
Oh, wait, zero. I'm taking zero.
I'm taking the push.
I'll take the under on zero. Is that even possible? Thanks, Sale. Man, Sale day. Whatever. It's fine. Okay. Well. We'll have to, maybe if this goes on too long, we'll have to make sure that we get our Celtics fix, and maybe we start talking about some of the best games or something like that, and in the weeks and months ahead to do something to get some basketball. It's hard because when April, May, June come around, like you get ready for that NBA playoffs, and to not have it would be pretty tough.
Oh, it's lousy. Like I've felt it too. Like the last 2 days, like when we're here at home, like how great would it have been to have the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament on? You know, it's just, it's a totally different world. Like I said, I'm watching more Get Up now than, you know, I did when, you know, when there's actually sports going on, which is crazy. But maybe it's just because I, you know, you want sports back so bad. I don't know. It's a totally different reality. We probably will start to go crazy. I mean, I think for right now we're hanging in there all right, but it'll start to get pretty brutal soon.
Yeah. Well, before we leave, I wanted to also basketball related. Just wanted to also give a shout out to you and the BC Eagles women's team. I mean, 20 wins in year two is pretty damn impressive. 20-12 record, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong, but
yeah,
you know, really tough to not have any postseason play. Obviously, bigger things at stake, but hopefully the team recognizes and can celebrate the success and also understand what can be done to improve next year to build on that and go from being on the bubble. And I think both of us probably expected to be on the right side of the bubble, but to be in a position next year.
We were optimistic, but the thing is, with the fact that it was canceled and the selection never happened, you can almost say, hey, you're in.
But you could strive for a little less stressful selection Monday next year in terms of building on the success from this year.
It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to be a part of, and it was a ride I wish could have continued, you know, more so for the seniors and for underclassmen too. But it really, really sucks for the seniors like that. I just can't
so tough.
Imagine them and any other senior whose, you know, season ended that way. For a team that wasn't going anywhere in postseason play, a lot of seasons were cut short, you know, because of conference tournaments, you know, and they thought they might still have at least one or two more games left. And you know, to have that taken away from you, that's tough. But
tough.
But, you know, yeah, it was a heck of a ride and, you know, a nice run in the ACC tournament, which kind of takes the sting off of,
you know,
getting the rug kind of ripped out from underneath you at the last second there. You know, that helps because you actually had, you know, something at the end that, you know, was fun. So,
yeah, you did have a tournament run. It came in, you know, maybe a couple weeks sooner than you were thinking, but you did have a tournament run, which is fun. And again, I think a lot to build on for next year, which is exciting as well. So
for sure.
Good stuff. Well, good to connect on all this. Glad we could fill the void and best of luck for next week. Another quarantine week. We'll see how things continue to go.
We'll do more of these now because we have no excuse. Nothing else to do.
No excuse. All right, man. It was fun. We'll talk soon.
All right. Talk to you.